It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Awesome. Older than I'm white.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's...
The work week is over. Cash it in. Head to the sports weekend, and we're ready for it. It's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy, and we've got you connected to the show on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Give us a thought of what's on your sports brain. What are you looking forward to this weekend? Of course, tonight, Pacers take on the Knicks. It's game 3. We are all over it like flies on something.
Something.
We've got it all covered because we're going to be talking to Scott Agnes from the Fieldhouse Files at 5:20. We also will talk some baseball because Dustin Butcher, the St. Francis baseball coach, is going to join us coming up around 5:35. You've got St. Francis and Indiana Tech baseball both qualifying for the NAIA National Tournament. And they'll both get into action starting at the beginning of next week. And so we got Dustin Butcher, coach at St. Francis, to join us to talk about his ball club. A lot of local influence on that ball club, and we'll get a chance to talk to him about it at 5:35. We've also got a chance for you to win. We've got the Indy 500 qualifying coming up next weekend, and we have four packs of tickets, not only this hour, but we'll have another four pack next hour. So it's a chance to get into the weekend as a winner here with the Sports Rush. And, of course, we're already winners around here on a Friday because the Tin Caps got themselves a win. They got a – I don't know what – There we go. That's it. Of course, we could call them the greatest of all time, but maybe that's a little overreaction to one victory. But they did get a win today, 5-3 over West Michigan. They played that kids game. I don't know if it's the Reader's program or what it is.
Yeah, something to do with schools.
Yeah, the schools had the kids all there up in Grand Rapids, so they played an 11 o'clock game this morning. Now they've got an extended break because they don't play again until tomorrow night.
There you go.
Next game will be tomorrow night, and it's even a 7:05 start. So 6:45 the pregame tomorrow night for Tin Caps Baseballs. They'll enter tomorrow night on a one-game winning streak.
All right. And I do just want to share, it is listed as a 7:05 first pitch tomorrow.
Yeah.
But they are doing a swearing-in ceremony for some members
military?
Of the service.
Oh.
Yep. So it might be a little bit closer to 7:15 for the first pitch.
Okay.
Just wanted to get that out there.
Okay, but
7:05.
Yeah. Tune in tomorrow.
Tune in. Get in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Sunday, of course, Mother's Day edition of Tin Caps Baseball.
Love it.
As they will finish up the series up in West Michigan, but it also finishes up the road trip. That's a 2:05 start. 1:45 will be the pregame. And then the Tin Caps come home for a couple of weeks. And that also means that we will be joining the Tin Caps on Thursday, May 23rd. It is our big night out to get a summer kickoff party and celebrate summer and its arrival because it will be summer-like weather. Now, I tell you this, I don't want to jinx anything, but right now looks like a great forecast. Mid-70s, partly cloudy skies, should be a great night for baseball, and we're looking forward to seeing you with us in the Summit. The rooftop section that's normally a group section above the center field 400 club.
Right.
We're going to be out there, and we'd like you to come out and join us. So what we're doing is providing food. We're providing drinks. Got beer and wine available for you. And, yeah, that's all included with your ticket.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's quite a deal.
Yeah. And not only that, you get a commemorative cup.
Whoa.
And it is throwback night to the Wizards.
It just keeps getting better.
And fireworks.
Oh, my gosh.
What else do we need? It's a thirsty Thursday.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, everything is just, the stars are aligning. You have to be with us. Get your tickets before it's too late. It's a limited seating capacity in the Summit. So if you want to lock down your spot, you better get online and get your tickets soon. If you want to get the link to purchase your tickets, all you have to do is text SUMMIT to 46862. We'll send you an immediate bounce back message that gives you the link to go in and get your tickets. $40, but that includes all the food you can eat at the food buffet. It includes the drinks you want, beer and wine available, and includes the commemorative cup. It also includes some great company. Adam and I will both be there.
Absolutely, we'll be there. But like we've said, it's just not really a better way to kick off your Memorial Day weekend, extended weekend. Started on a Thursday night at Thursday at the Tin Cabs, hanging out with us.
Oh, I forgot to mention, we're passing out notes for work excuses for Friday.
We got you there.
They're official notes that will excuse you from your employment on Friday. And the only problem is Adam and I will both work.
Yeah, we will.
We can't give them to each other.
No, but we do have a good doctor's signature, and we'll be willing to sign that for you. Nice little scribble on
Dr.
that.
Dr. Michael Limmer will be our official physician for the evening that will do the checkups and make sure to diagnose some kind of a serious problem for Friday.
But it's a great chance, you know, for all of our listeners who listen every day and want an opportunity to meet us and hang out with us at the ballpark, one of the best ballparks in the nation, and just enjoy a night of sports. I mean, so I would recommend signing up and getting your tickets.
Those are my best meetings during the day when I go out and see clients and, you know, we talk about some of their needs and advertising and some of their goals and what they're trying to achieve and how I can help them get there and create a nice positive ROI for their business. Some of the ideas, some include radio, some don't. But we talk about all types of marketing strategies, but then the best meetings are the ones where we have time to just shoot the bull about some sports.
Absolutely. We'll be able to do that a lot.
The folks that like to listen, you know, hearing about the Pacers or the Colts, or they want to give some feedback on the Boilermakers or whatever.
Or the Hoosiers.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Hoosiers, Notre Dame, we hear it all. High school sports, I get a lot of feedback on high school sports when I'm out and about, but we love that. And that you know, we'll be able to share some stories. Coming up Thursday, it's what, 2 weeks?
It's now less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks yesterday.
Yep, you nailed it. So it's going to be a great time. Get your tickets.
Coming up tonight, big one down in Indianapolis.
Oh man.
You know what, you can call it a must win because theoretically it is a must win, but by definition, literally not a must win because the Pacers would still be alive and there'd still be a game Sunday even if they lose. So it's not like the season's completely over. But the odds are like 99.8% that the season will be over if the Pacers can't get a win tonight against a very depleted New York Knicks squad. I'll just tell you this, point blank, there's no doubt in my mind that the Knicks do not have a roster to win this series at this point. It's done. Forget it.
Yeah, I mean,
get them off the grill.
It's hard not to agree. Just injury after injury after injury for the Knicks. It'll probably be now Precious Achiuwa starting at the power forward tonight for the Knicks. He'll be probably the main guard of Pascal Siakam for the Pacers. And we'll see how that goes. But like you said, our roster is just depleted.
Losing OG Anunoby for what could be the remainder of the series, although officially he is out for tonight and no other status past tonight. But some of the insiders are kind of projecting that they don't think he's going to make it back for the series. He may not make it back this year with the injury that he sustained, some type of a hamstring injury. So Anunoby out. And then the big question is Jalen Brunson. Is that foot issue that he's got, which we really don't have a full report on that either, is the foot injury something where it could be re-aggravated? Is it something where he's just dealing with pain? Is it something structural? You know, he was very tentative on it in the third quarter when he did come back. Now, it looked like in the fourth quarter, he either put it out of his mind or it felt better, but he played totally different. He played his typical Jalen Brunson type of fourth quarter in game two. But tonight, what will the Knicks look like, and will the Pacers not relax? This is my biggest fear. You've got a young basketball team that doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, sometimes, you know, I heard Tyrese Halliburton say that the other day. Well, we get to go back home. We feel good about going back home. Gainbridge Fieldhouse as a building, even with your fans in it, has never truly won a game. You have to play better than your opponent. And do not just believe that you're going to be 10 points better because the Knicks will be 10 points worse. You know, it's like, don't count on just coming home as being your savior in this series. You know how tough it was for the Knicks and how well you played against them in Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are going to be that hungry and that tough coming into your building.
Yeah.
You've got to be ready for that. It's a young team. Do they make the mistake of kind of letting down and maybe not having one of their best games or not having their focus or turning the ball over, giving up the offensive rebounds, doing the mistakes that allow the Knicks an opportunity to steal this game? Because quite honestly, if you look at the two rosters, it's a mismatch at this point. I mean, without Randall, who's been out the entire series, without Ananobi, that front line, I mean, basically, those are two guys in the same position, right? They pretty much are both fours, kind of 3-4 type guys that are both going to be out of the lineup. That means it's got to be Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam night tonight.
Yeah.
And Siakam especially has to take advantage of this because Ananobi's done a really good job defensively against him, and he's been fairly quiet and been not much of an impact, but Miles Turner was a disaster on game two.
Yeah,
he needs to bounce back. Miles Turner seems to live off the thrill of the crowd, you know, and
yeah.
So he's got to have a huge game for the Pacers tonight. And of course, you got to continue to get the production you do from the bench. But I just think when you look at the rosters, you look at where this game's being played, as long as the Pacers don't let up, don't relax, I think they've got a good chance to win this game, maybe even win this game comfortably.
Yeah.
And then put all the pressure on New York when it gets, because I feel like it'll shift the momentum a little bit, shift some of the pressure onto New York, because New York does not want to be in a short series with a depleted lineup. So they don't want to go back to New York 2-2.
Right.
Because then you're playing a best of three series, a short series with a depleted lineup. They don't want to be in that position.
No. It's kind of nice, though, being a Knicks fan now, because now it's like I feel no pressure to win any of these games.
Wait until we come up on Monday.
Yeah.
Because Monday, you and I will be able to have a chat about exactly where this series is at.
Yeah.
Is it going to be 2-2? Is it going to be 3-1 Knicks? Is it going to be over by the time we come? I mean, the series could be done by the time we come back on Monday, Adam.
Right. It just feels like for us, it feels like any win is just kind of icing on the cake,
yeah.
But it's just like I'm not going into any of these.
You're
games.
On a free roll now because you aren't expected to win with the lineup you've
playing with house
money.
You know
the cards
yeah.
you've been dealt. It's like you're starting a poker hand where you've got a 2 and a 4 in your hand.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you got to hope the flop comes out ace 3-5. Right.
Right. Right. So if the Knicks do find a way to get this win tonight, that would be even more impressive than game two, losing Brunson for a couple quarters.
Well, my stats are my keys to the game tonight. Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam having a big night.
Yep.
Because I think they need to dominate around the basket. I think they should be able to match the rebounding with Ananobi not in there. You can't just let Josh Hart continue to kill you on the glass.
He might eventually, go for 20 tonight.
Eventually, you've got to box him out. also, flip the three-point percentage. Now it's your rims, your building.
Yeah.
And, the Knicks shot extremely well at home, but you've got to hope that you can defend the Knicks a little bit better at the three-point line. They don't make the shots they were making at home and that the Pacers can flip it because that last game where the Pacers, they shoot like 30-some percent and the Knicks were shooting almost 50%.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can flip the three-point numbers. You may not shoot 50, but if you can at least shoot in the 40s and hold the Knicks somewhere in the mid to lower 30s, I think that creates a great balance because I think the Knicks have to rely on three-point shots to try to keep up with the Pacers. Number three, keep pushing the pace. They've got to make this a fast game. Precious is not a guy that's going to be used to being out there for 35, 40, 45 minutes, and he might have to play that tonight.
Right.
And so push the pace because you will wear them down and you'll make a short roster even shorter if you can keep pushing the pace. And then finally, finish with the best five on the floor. I think Rick Carlisle made a mistake in game two with some of the late substitutions. He wasn't getting much out of Siakam. He wasn't getting much out of Miles Turner. And yet, Obi Toppin, TJ McConnell, clearly having great games. Nebhard was not a good matchup against Brunson. McConnell would have been a better defensive matchup, I thought, with Brunson late.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing about McConnell's, he'll come out and he'll test you. He'll challenge you.
Yeah.
And he'll try to force if you he will take away the shot. He'll get right up on your grill. Now the problem with Nebhard is he is not getting in the grill. What he's doing is he's getting in a good defensive posture to try to take away the drive, but he's susceptible to that step back because he's a shorter defender that isn't right up on Jalen Brunson. McConnell gets right up on him, and he says, go ahead, deck it and beat me on the drive to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes away all the available space, which means Brunson then has to drive to the basket. He doesn't have a straight path, and it also gives a defender a chance to rotate over and help him if he does get beat. I like the McConnell approach. Go out, challenge him at that mid-range. From the foul line out, get right up on him. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Let's find out what is happening in the world of sports. Time to check today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
All right, let's get in today's top headlines, Brett. Now that I've figured out how to make a computer work, ahead of rookie minicamp today, Chicago Bears head coach Matt Eberflus wasted no time in naming Caleb Williams as Chicago's starting quarterback. Quote, no conversation, Eberflus said. Quote, he's the starter. His declaration confirmed the inevitable decision for the Bears after they drafted the former Heisman Trophy winner with the number one overall pick last month. And the Raiders quarterback battle between returning former Purdue Boilermaker Aiden O'Connell and veteran free agent and former Colt Gardner Minshew has an early leader. Quote, Aiden's earned the right to go out there and earn the first snap, Raiders coach Antonio Pierce said today. What he's done this offseason, changing his body, his work ethic, being here every day, blocking out the outside noise. He's not worried about anything. I'm excited. And you mentioned that New York Knicks forward OG Anunoby will miss tonight's Game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinals with that strained left hamstring. The team announced it yesterday. Adrian Wojnarowski is also reporting that Anunoby is considered unlikely to play in Sunday's Game 4 as well. This also reported about 15 minutes ago by Stephen Bondi of the New York Post. Jalen Brunson, who is dealing with the foot injury, will likely go through warm-ups and play in tonight's Game 3 against the Pacers.
We're not surprised. We kind of expected he was going to play, but the question is, could something re-aggravate? Could he maybe, you know, he's been out there, what, 46 minutes, 45?
Yeah, I mean, they all have, yeah.
Hart plays every minute.
48.
Everybody else might get a minute or two along the way, but, you know, could Brunson, if Brunson misses a quarter,
yeah,
because he's dealing with, you know, foot pain and
could be huge.
You know, that again could be another benefit for the Pacers tonight. Gardner Minshew, you think he's going to have some regrets if he ends up out in Vegas and doesn't earn that starting spot?
Being the backup behind Aiden O'Connell. Yeah.
I mean,
the money's good.
Well, and I don't think the money was that much different than the Colts would have paid him. I mean, a couple of million bucks. But, you know, don't you want to be in a in relative to NFL money, quarterback money,
Brett,
especially.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of money, Adam.
True, and now you're being a backup, and I don't know.
And the thing is, you're backing up a guy that it isn't probably. I mean, you could understand backing up a number four pick in the draft.
Right.
But, you know, O'Connell was, what round was he, fourth, fifth?
I'll find out.
And so, you know, backing him up, it's just, I don't know, maybe he wants to live in Vegas, but I think he left the Colts or preferred to leave the Colts because of a chance to get a starting opportunity, knowing he was not going to be the incumbent starter in Indianapolis.
O'Connell was drafted in round four. He was pick 135.
All right. Once again, we've got to give away some Indy 500 qualifying tickets. And, of course, it is the greatest spectacle in racing. Right? The Indy 500, greatest spectacle in racing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So today's word, it's going to have multiple syllables, Adam, and I'm going to go ahead and pick it.
Okay.
It's spectacle.
Spectacle.
Spectacle, because it's the greatest spectacle in racing.
Awesome.
The Indianapolis 500. So if you want to get the four-pack of tickets, go to Indy 500 qualifying coming up next weekend, go ahead and text the word spectacle to 46862. Spelling may or may not count. That's, you know, Adam, you'll randomly pick somebody and you'll decide whether they spelled it close enough or not. But spectacle at 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. And coming up later in the hour, we will select one random winner of a four-pack of tickets to the Indy 500 qualifying at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Still coming up this hour, we're going to be talking to, again, one of the newest mastodons, getting a chance to meet the transfer portal transfer to the Mastodons from Loyola Chicago.
I got to ask
if he's met Sister Jean.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, because I might be the second oldest person he's met that's been tied into. As long as he's met Sister Jean, I'm okay. But Trey Lewis is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. And in hour number two, Scott Agnes to talk more about the Pacers and Dustin Butcher, the head coach of St. Francis Baseball. It's all coming up on a Friday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Once again, it's another four-pack to go see qualifying for the Indianapolis 500. If you'd like to win that four-pack, you just have to text SPECTACLE to 46862. We'll randomly pick a winner at the end of the hour. Last night, around the NBA, the Mavs, well, they handed OKC their first playoff loss.
Yeah, swept the first round and won their first game, so...
So the Mavs now have gotten that series evened up.
Yeah, not hugely surprising. I think that series is going to go 6 or 7.
Yeah, I thought I think both Western series are are exciting. With the Mavs and OKC, you've got star power with Luka and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and then that Minnesota team with Anthony Edwards. It's really the country's first chance to get a good look at just how talented that guy is. And they've got Denver on the ropes.
On the ropes, and they're back in Minnesota. So.
Yeah, after Minnesota took the first two in Denver.
Impressive. Impressive to do that. You know, you go there, it's the defending champions, it's the altitude, it's everything. And they were able to get them both.
Yep, that was huge. I mean, that's one thing. The Pacers aren't in a position where they're down 2-0 losing two games at home.
Right.
They're down 2-0 losing on the road. They can come back home. Like Tyrese Halliburton said, is the series doesn't start till the road team wins. And so, you know, the series right now is kind of on course with two home wins for the Knicks. And now it's time for the Pacers to follow suit. But, the story maybe wasn't what happened on the court last night between the Mavs and Oklahoma City. In fact, what got the buzz on social media last night? I don't even know if I can explain what happened during Luka Doncic's press conference, but right in the middle of him answering questions, there were some strange moans coming from the crowd.
We were open shots, so just our sharing the ball and our energy was great.
What do you think? Okay, moving on.
Moving on, but that definitely caught the social media world.
Do you want what's behind curtain number two? I don't know where the...
Oh, my... Nobody seems to be able to find out where that noise came from.
No, his reaction was to look up and kind of back toward the middle of the room and then kind of in disbelief and then put his head down. once I think he realized he was hearing what... He thought he was hearing.
That's what you were hearing. And then I think he had a funny comment later. He said, "I hope this isn't live."
But for those who, just want to get a chance to actually hear this because they don't get enough of it in their real life, here it is again.
We were open shots, so just our sharing the ball and our energy was great.
What do you think?
There's a few choices here of what could be.
Yes.
We know it could be something actually going on behind curtain number two. It could be somebody was watching an inappropriate video and they turned it off to record Doncic, and then when they stopped the recording, or if the video popped back up, I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah.
I'm trying to speculate. It's not. But trust me, it isn't. It isn't me having any personal knowledge of the situation.
Sure, but yeah, you know, it could have been somebody just opening up a laptop that they left something open on. Maybe somebody's phone connected to a Bluetooth speaker.
Now, do you suppose that if they track it down to a particular reporter, that reporter is going to be, let's put it this way, in trouble with his employer, will be in trouble with the Nick, with the team, will be he be in trouble with the NBA?
I mean,
I don't know what the rules are, but I would have to say it's inappropriate and poor judgment.
Yeah, you'd probably get in trouble, I would assume, but the question is are they even going to be able to figure out where
is anybody going to call out who it actually was?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't own up to it if it was me.
Well, I mean, nobody's going to come out and say, you know, that was me. I was, you know, watching something on TV.
That'd be a baller move, I'll be honest.
But the question is, if there was somebody else that was in the room.
Right, if it was like a prank.
That says something, hey, you know, that was so-and-so, and then they tell somebody, you don't know.
Yeah.
Usually you would think that it would spread and you'd have some idea, but it's amazing that sounds like that could come out of a press conference. And nobody has a story to tell. Come on, somebody give us the gossip. I mean, where's TMZ on this?
I don't know.
They need to get on the case. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Man, what is up with Boston? You know, this is such a typical Boston move to just decide not to show up for a game in the playoffs. It just seems like every year you see them lay an egg along the way. And last night at home, they, you know, and I think part of it is it's a soft team. They don't have a real toughness about them. They're really good when things are going well. But, you know, miss some shots, get behind, and they just don't have a real toughness about them. And it just seems like it's their personality. It's the culture. But last night, Cleveland just put them out of their misery at home and just blew them away.
Yeah.
And ended this one pretty early as Cleveland cruises to the big win over Boston. I don't think Boston's in trouble in this series. I think they win the series, but it was an embarrassing night for the Celtics.
I agree. It was kind of a repeat of what they had happen in the last series against the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler losing that second game, and it was just an embarrassing loss. I don't know. I mean, you shouldn't need that if you're the Celtics. You shouldn't need an embarrassing loss in the series to motivate you to win the next couple of games by a lot. You should just handle business, especially at home at TD Garden. But I agree. I don't think the Celtics are going to be pushed up against a wall here.
And one of the things that, you know, think about the difference between a regular season and a postseason. First of all, postseason, you're playing the same opponent. So when you have a game like that, you give a lot of momentum to the team that you're going to have to come back and play next.
Yeah.
Where during the regular season, you lay an egg like that against somebody, and maybe next on your schedule's Washington or somebody that, you know, not as good, Charlotte, or somebody that you can probably beat and get yourself back on track. So we'll see how Boston responds to that. Also, news came down today that Rick Carlisle has received judgment on his comments the other night where he talked about how the league wants the big city teams to advance and how it's stacked against the small town teams like Indianapolis and the Indiana Pacers. And for his comments, he got fined $35,000. And I fully expected it to be an even 50. I thought 50 would be the magic number, but 35,000, I don't know. And maybe the league showed some restraint because perhaps they felt like in some ways Carlisle had a justification to being a little ticked off, but 35,000. What did you think about the number, Adam? Did you think it was in the neighborhood of what you expected? Now, you have to remember, Rick Carlisle, to put this into perspective, he makes $7.5 million a year as the coach of the Indiana Pacers. 35,000 would be equivalent to someone who makes 60 grand a year paying a $275 fine.
I think it was worth it for him to get whatever message he was trying to get across. I mean, it, like you said, it's not insignificant money, but it's also not going to break the bank for Rick Carlisle. So, yeah. And he did it to send a message. He didn't actually, you know, if you do believe that, you got bigger issues.
He's trying to get as much leverage against the officials so those officials are thinking about it going into game 3 tonight.
This is Purdue Fort Wayne men's basketball coach John Coleman, and you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Go Dons.
Probably appropriate that Coach Kaufman brings us back from the break because we've got to talk to one of the newest mastodons that's joining the team, getting all set for next season. Fills a nice void for that the Mastodons had, and he'll be a guy that's very versatile, that can do a lot of things for the Dons in the upcoming season. Coming to the Mastodons out of Loyola Chicago, and a former finalist for Mr. Basketball in Michigan. He joins us now on the Sports Rush guest line, Trey Lewis. And Trey, welcome to the Mastodons.
What's up? Thank you for having me.
It's great to talk to you. And of course, you're out of the Detroit area, where you made quite a name for yourself. What's surprising to me, I noticed your hometown just a few minutes down the road from Detroit Mercy. Did you ever attend any of the Titans games?
I was never really big on going to their games, but I'm familiar with them.
Did you ever see the Mastodons play before getting a call when you entered the transfer portal? Were you aware of the Mastodons? Ever watch a game, see a game, anything?
I had somewhat of a relationship with Coach Kaufman coming out of high school because he recruited me a little bit. So I was a little familiar with the program and the coaches that were on the staff.
How do you describe your game? What type of a player are you?
I think I'm somebody that can do it all. I can score the ball at a high level any way you need me to. I can guard. I can guard different positions. And I can make decisions with the ball in my hand. I'm pretty versatile.
You're about a 6'6", roughly. What, about 6'6", 200, yeah. Somewhere in that neighborhood?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lewis joining us. He's joining the Mastodons, and you had a great career in high school and ended up being a finalist for Mr. Basketball in the state of Michigan. Just curious, when you made the choice to go to Loyola to start your college career, what type of schools, what other offers were you weighing against Loyola Chicago? Who were some of the teams that recruited you initially out of high school?
Like I said before, Purdue, Fort Wayne, Toledo, Kent State. I had a few other schools too, but like Loyola was the right place for me at the time.
Going to Loyola Chicago, I know everybody knows Sister Jean. Did you have a chance to meet Sister Jean in your time in Chicago?
Yeah, I did. Before games, we would say a prayer with her. Before every home game. So we were very familiar with her, and we spoke with her like every time.
Good. That takes pressure off me. I won't be the oldest dude that hangs around your team. So, Trey, let's talk a little bit about your decision you made this spring where you entered the portal and then, of course, made the decision to come to Purdue Fort Wayne. What were some of the schools that you were looking at, and what was it that separated the Mastodons as far as where you felt you fit best?
I had a number of schools, Western Michigan, Cal State Fullerton, Toledo, and it was a few more, but that was just a few to name. But I feel like Purdue Fort Wayne is somewhere I can really display my game and show what I'm capable of on the court.
I feel like it'll help me
as far as basketball, but I feel like it'll be better for me, help me off the court too.
And it's nice geographically, not too far from home. But also, you know, the thing about the Mastodons, they have a style where, you know, where guys who like you, you know, that can handle the ball, that can play with pace, that can distribute, because it's a very unselfish type of offense, but it also rewards good shooters. And that's something I think that you're also going to bring to the Mastodons.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that one of the things you would say is the best skill that you've got right now is outside shooting or attacking the basket? Where do you put yourself?
I think my jump shot is the most dangerous part of my game because that's what I play off of. That's what I use to get me that's to get me to the rim and to other spots on the floor.
Because a lot of guys, it's kind of the, you know, you have one or the other where, you know, better at the attack. And so, you know, defenders can kind of play a step off. But when you've got both weapons, you put a lot of pressure on the defense. If they come and close out aggressively, you take it right past them to the rack. And if you're if they play off, they give you space to get that shot. I'll tell you what, I know everybody around the program just thrilled to have you coming into town to join what already is a good team. Have you had a chance? You had a chance to visit the city, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, I did. I did.
What?
I loved it.
What stood out? What did you do while you were in town?
We went to an MMA fight at the Coliseum where the home games are.
Oh yeah.
And that was my first time. That was my first time doing something like that, so it was real nice.
Yeah, yeah. So,
the whole team was there, so I got to interact with them too.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, I saw Coach Kaufman post some of the pictures from that MMA event, and of course the Tin Caps had played earlier that day, so it was pretty full day for John Nolan, who also does the broadcast. He does the TV side, so it was pretty full day for the Mastodons in general. But glad to have you, man. It's going to be exciting this winter, and can't wait to have you on campus. You're going to be coming in about the 1st of June?
Yeah, I believe so.
That'll be awesome. Look forward to having you here, and best of luck with your work this summer, and we look forward to seeing you on the court this fall and winter.
I appreciate you. I look forward to being there.
Yep.
I can't wait.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for the time, Trey. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yep, that is Trey Lewis out of the Detroit area joining the Mastodons, a 6'6 guard, really more a 6'6 wing type of player.
Yeah.
Kind of fills that void between some of the smaller guards the Dons have had. I think it was pretty obvious to anybody that watched the team or looked at the roster last year that there was a certain void between like 6'2 and the 6'9 big man.
Yeah.
Anthony Roberts was about the only player you had that kind of fit in the middle. Max Nelson's a 6'8 guy. He was counted on kind of as a backup post / four man. But to get a guy that can be a long wing, that can guard a taller guard, because one guy that gave the Mastodons fits over the last 2 years was B.J. Freeman from Milwaukee, a 6'5 guard.
Yeah.
And the Dons just didn't have that ideal matchup for him. Because Milwaukee could put two bigs out there that force Anthony Roberts, the 6'4 defender, to guard a 6'7 or 6'8 guy. And then that would leave a 6'2 guy on Freeman. And he is just so dangerous. And he kind of lit up the Dons a couple of times last year. And so this kind of closes that gap. Pretty exciting to have such a talented player coming out of Loyola Chicago to Purdue Fort Wayne for this upcoming season. So we're giving away the tickets to the Indy 500 qualifying, and our keyword this hour is spectacle. It is the greatest spectacle in racing, and so we had to find one word, and we said, you know what, if it's the greatest spectacle, then let's just use spectacle as our word.
Spectacle.
46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. You can text the word spectacle. And we're going to be drawing for a winner coming up in about 5 minutes. Then we've got another four-pack of tickets to Indy 500 qualifying, which comes to the Speedway next weekend. And we'll give those away coming up in hour number two.
How about that? We just got all the giveaways.
We are the prize guys.
And we want our listeners to go have a chance to experience the Indy 500 qualifiers.
I kind of like that name, the prize guys.
The prize guys? Oh, yeah. I guarantee somebody already owns that.
Yeah, but I like it.
We can always steal it.
Yeah, as long as what they don't know won't hurt them. Coming up on May 23rd, Tin Caps have a special night with a throwback to the Wizards. We're going to be there up at the top of the 400 Club in the Summit. And we're inviting you to come join us. All you've got to do is go online, get your tickets. They're $40. It includes an all-you-can-eat food buffet. It includes beer, wine, whatever you want to drink. There's a bar up there. You also have the special commemorative cups that we will be giving away. And they've got the Tin Caps logo, the 1380 The Fan logo, and the logo of Midwest Box Breaks, who is kind enough to sponsor this event. He'll be up there. We'll have Ben up there with us. He'll have some cards. Not exactly sure how he's going to go about displaying them or distributing them, but I know he'll have some with him because he always does. And so Ben Smith will be joining us for our night on May 23rd. It is 2 weeks from last night, so it's less than 2 weeks away. And the extended forecast looking very nice. Highs in the mid-70s, partly cloudy skies. We're counting on it being a beautiful night at Parkview Field, and we hope that you can make it with us to celebrate the start of summer.
Yeah, great chance to kick off summer, Memorial Day weekend. Great chance to meet us and hang out with us. If you like listening to us, you can come out and hang out with us in person and watch the Tin Caps from, like you said, a vantage point where you might not have an opportunity to again in the near future.
And even though it's a limited space area, even if you don't listen to us or don't like us, you can still come. We'll still let you buy a ticket.
We will.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a cup.
And we'll even give you a cup for your attendance.
It might be a little begrudgingly if you're not a fan.
We
but
might spit in it first. No, we won't. No, we won't. But no, it's May 23rd with the Tin Caps, and you can get your tickets simply by texting the word SUMMIT to 46862. That's SUMMIT to 46862. You'll get a bounce back message with ticket information to be able to buy your tickets. It's, you know, it's that's the other thing about this. That section is a group section where normally you have to work for a company that ponies up a good chunk of money to sit up there. And so this is an opportunity for our listeners to get individual tickets for that section of the stadium. And we thought, what a great opportunity to sit in a very exclusive seating area. You're on the rooftop. You've got a great panoramic view of downtown, of the ballpark, of the game.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the angle of the game from up there. It should be quite fun to watch.
Yep, a lot of fun. So join us May 23rd at Parkview Field. Big hour coming up. More on the Pacers taking on the Knicks. We'll have Scott Agnes join us coming up at about 5:20. And we'll talk St. Francis baseball. They are off to the national tournament, the NAIA National Tournament. And Dustin Butcher, their coach, is going to join us to talk a little bit about the keys to their success and some of the key players that they have on their roster. A lot of them, in fact, most of them, with Fort Wayne area connections. So it's a very local team that you can really get behind. And we'll talk to him coming up at about 5:35. It's a Friday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.